want to welcome everybody here this evening. I'm truly honored and blessed that you are all here with us and made a choice to spend your evening here with us tonight. My name is Christy, and tonight I'm here and I want to share my own personal story with you. I want to start by asking the question, what is personal? So personal is this: it's of, affecting, or belonging to a particular person rather than anyone else. So tonight, what I want to share with you is what's in my mind and my heart that results from my own personal journey through grief, and this is the journey that belongs to me and really will be like no one else's. What are some other things that are personal to each of us? The choices and the decisions we make in life are personal, as well as our own personal desires. For example, an example of this in my life is that I made a personal decision to pursue a career as a physician as a young child in order to fulfill a very strong personal desire in my heart to want to help others in their greatest times of need. So what else is personal to us? Our relationships are very personal. And for me, this would be represented by my husband, my 11-year-old son, my family, my friends, and my relationship with God as well. That's something that's very personal to me. And the closer the relationship, the more personal it is to me. So what else? Our beliefs are personal, and our faith is personal. As for me and my faith, after hearing the verse John 3:16 at a very young age in childhood, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And upon hearing that verse, I became a Christian and I began believing in God. So really from that point on until the past year and a half, I believed in God, but I did not truly believe God. So you may question why I make that distinction. And as I go on with my story, I think it's going to make a lot more sense to you. So what did believing in God look like in my life? And to illustrate this, I want to use the example of a chair. So the chair that you're sitting in tonight, when I look at that chair, I believe in that chair. I believe that that chair would support me if I were to sit on that chair. I believe that I'm largely in control of the chair and that the chair exists primarily for the purpose of serving me, fulfilling my desire to sit and my needs. I can talk to the chair if I desire to do so. However, the chair can never communicate back to me, and so I cannot live in a personal relationship with that chair. So this represented my experience with God when I believed in God before I began to believe God. I view God as primarily existing to fulfill my own personal desires and to serve my needs instead of the other way around. I went through life relying mostly on myself to solve all of my own problems, and I would do a lot of talking to God through my prayer, especially in times when I had unfulfilled desires and unmet needs. However, I was in a monologue and not a true dialogue with God, and I did not have a relationship with him. I was really not listening to his efforts to communicate with me because I was not contemplating his word daily. I knew scriptures, but I was not really contemplating those scriptures and how that would apply and even could apply to my own life. So I did not know God, and instead, I created God in my own personal image. So how did that manifest in my life? So my priorities were this: my career came first, then my family, and lastly, God. And I lived my life experiencing God intellectually in my mind, but not having a personal experience with him in my heart. From the outside looking in, I had a very successful career as a physician, a loving and supportive husband and son, a wonderful family and friends, a truly wonderful and blessed community, and an overabundance of blessings in my life. However, despite all of those things, there was still a void in my life because while I believed in God, I could not even comprehend at that time what it meant to believe God and experience a true personal relationship with him each and every day. In March of 2016, I would journey through an experience that would transform and change my life forever. It was the most difficult experience of my life and one that I would have never personally sought out on my own. After 9 years of struggling with infertility following the birth of my son, when myself and my family had given up all hope of ever having additional children, God blessed us with a daughter. She was born into this world early, but when she was born, she was a beautiful baby girl and looked perfect really in every way. However, after 29 hours of life and truly unexplainable to this day by the doctors and the medical staff that were taking care of her, she passed away while I was holding her in my arms. And I felt that my life had been shattered at that time into a million pieces. I thought up until that point that I truly knew what it meant to love and how deeply I possibly could love, but I didn't. I never knew that it was possible to either love and therefore to grieve so deeply as that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He said, "We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but instead in God, who raises the dead. It is he who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, and he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us." So scripturally, this describes my experience of grief perfectly. Just as the Apostle Paul said, I was too was crushed and overwhelmed by my grief. I felt that it was beyond my ability to endure. And at that time, I really thought that I would never be able to live through it. And for the first time in my life, it was impossible to rely upon myself in order to lift me out of this circumstance. But for the first time ever, I did surrender myself to God, including my self-reliance. And this truly was a personal choice that I made, but for me, there was no other option that I could even imagine at that time. So I made this personal choice to place my trust, my dependence, my hope, and my confidence in God. As the Apostle Paul said, he's the only one that raises the dead, the only one that's capable of performing true miracles in our life, the only one that can deliver us out of our impossible circumstances in life, including the impossible circumstance that I was facing at that time, which was the intensity of the grief that I was suffering following the death of my daughter. John chapter 4 tells the story of a Samaritan woman who came to Jacob's well seeking water. And one day, upon coming to that well, she encountered Jesus, who was sitting by the well and had a true personal encounter with him. And he offered her the living water and told her that if she took this water, she would never thirst again. So what was this living water? It was really the answers to her spiritual needs in her life that we all have. We all have spiritual needs in our own life. And she went into the town in order to really tell everybody about this personal encounter that she had with Jesus. So this is what losing my daughter did for me. It brought me to the well, and I experienced God personally through a personal encounter with Jesus. And the result was this. It was that my needs and my desires became secondary to my spiritual needs and to my experience with God. And God took on a primary importance in my life. So what does that look like to believe God? I began to have a desire and a thirst to get to know God as he desired to reveal and to communicate his own character to me, as opposed to myself creating him, like I mentioned before, in my own image. And for the first time, instead of being in a monologue with him, I entered into a dialogue with God, and I dove into his word daily, really contemplating that word and listening to what it was that he desired to communicate to me, mainly through his word, also through my prayers, though. I think I pray in a much different way now after believing God, and I'm really listening as I'm praying for what he would desire to communicate to me, describing his will in my life. Also, he brought several other godly people into my life to really walk alongside of me and help teach and remind me of his spiritual truths through the Bible and through his scriptures. From that moment on, I stopped questioning why God. I stopped asking why he would allow this to happen in this way at this time. But instead, I fully trusted in him because I understood that just as he did the Samaritan woman, he knows me fully and he knows what's best for my life, even if I cannot understand, and even if it does not make sense to me. Following the death of my daughter, the biblical truths that I had learned as a child about Jesus, his birth, his life, his death on the cross for us when we were undeserving sinners, the resurrection, and the promise of his return, all of these things took on a whole new personal significance and relevance, and they became of primary importance in my life. It's only through these promises can I know with absolute 100% certainty that my child is more alive than ever today, experiencing eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. So I still do grieve deeply today, sometimes and some days more deeply than others, and it's more intense. But I grieve deeply because I loved her so deeply. But today, as I express the emotions that God gave me through my sadness and tears, I do still grieve, but I grieve as one with hope. Specifically relating to the holidays, because I know this is an especially difficult time right now, it's difficult because our experience of grief, I believe, is heightened during this time because the holidays are so personal to us. We all have our own personal memories, personal sentiments, personal family traditions, and it's a very emotional time and a very personal time for us. So as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, I wanted to share a message that I wrote to my family shortly following my daughter's passing. So I said this, I wrote, "This is so incredibly difficult, and I am sad certainly, but not angry, because I am so thankful for the limited time that we all have with my daughter, for her presence brought such an incredible joy to all of us." So as we enter the holiday season this year, my prayer for everyone in this room tonight is simply this. It's that you can also have a personal experience with God through your own personal loss, and that through your sadness and through the tears, that you can give thanks for the time spent with your loved ones and for your blessings. And grieve, absolutely we're going to grieve, because like I mentioned before, we grieve deeply because we love deeply. However, grieve is ones with hope. Christmas last year took on an entirely new personal significance and meaning as to what we celebrate, which is the birth of Jesus Christ, and the why it is so important to all of us and to our loved ones. So I want to conclude by sharing the prayer of my then 10-year-old son just days before Christmas last year, because I believe that his prayer emphasizes the true meaning and the importance of Christmas and states it perfectly better than I can ever say in my own words. So he prayed this prayer. He said, "Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die on the cross so that my sister can live in heaven." So may this be our focus as we celebrate Christmas this year. And I want to thank you all for your time and for listening tonight and just allowing me, giving me the opportunity to share my story. And may God bless each and every one of you and your families. Thank you.